Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I stand here and I see the great body of the Church of Christ. And it's hard to believe, but it's true. There are people that are outside the church and they see all of these warm and welcoming faces of the church and they say, the church is exclusive. That's a criticism from the modern world. Many criticisms are thrown at the church that we're not inclusive enough, that we preach against certain sins and lifestyles that have become accepted and mainstream. Christians can often be thought as narrow-minded and judgmental. A friend of mine, we'll call him Bob because I don't have permission to use his name in this sermon. No offense to the Bobs out there. But my friend Bob, he told me once, because I was evangelizing to him, I was telling him about the good news, and he's like, you know, Colin, this, you got something here, but maybe we should do away with some of the harsher rhetoric of the Bible. Maybe we should sand off some of these more hard edge, and after all, you'll catch more flies with honey, right? I had to explain to him the idea of this being God's word. If we truly believe that it's God's word, what it would be like to say, hey God, I know you wrote this down that it's divinely inspired, but I think you made some mistakes. Here, let me cross that out for you. We went back and forth for some time till eventually he threw his hands up. He thought the church was being too judgmental. He wanted to reshape it to his own personal opinions. And you've probably heard in your own personal lives, whether through evangelism or just casually as you go about your life, the church is criticized as being intolerant. The church isn't welcoming. The church is full of hypocrites. Those words can hurt. The reality is, the church is full of sinners. But let's truly ask that question. Is it true that the church is exclusive? In one sense, yes. We are exclusive when it comes to salvation. We proclaim with what our Lord Jesus taught us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not some vague or optional statement. This is such a cornerstone of our belief. Christ doesn't say, I am a way or one of many truths. He doesn't just open the door to pluralism or self-made paths to God. The church is exclusive in this sense, that we confess that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We proclaim salvation through Christ. In Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. But as we explore our text for this Sunday, something else creeps its way to the surface. While Christ is the only way, his way is meant for everyone. There is no one outside the reach of God's absolute mercy. The church is not exclusive in whom it welcomes. St. Paul tells us clearly in Galatians 3, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ. How radical is that statement? And this is not cause to erase our God-given vocations or identities, but rather a declaration that Christ, that in Christ, no one has greater worth before God than any other. Every barrier is broken at the baptismal font. Every wall that separates is torn down by the cross. Here in the church, you find the rich sitting next to the poor, the white collar next to the blue collar. It is a place from people of all different walks of life can come and worship the same God and receive the same salvation. So yes, the church is exclusive in doctrine, in that it points to Christ. But it is radically inclusive in its invitation. The doors of the church stand open, not so that you may come and look at the shrine to the saints, but rather so that you may usher in the sick to the hospital. And all of us are sick with sin. This sickness is universal. Across nations, generations, and even personalities, sin does not discriminate. It infects the outwardly religious and the wide-eyed pagan alike. And we see that powerfully in our gospel message. Jesus, he crosses over the lake and he meets a man possessed by a demon. Naked, violent, an outcast, living among the tombs of the dead. He is the very picture of unclean and unwanted humanity. Don't go over to that part of town. You won't like the type of person that you'll find there. But Christ does not turn away. He drives out the legion of demons and restores the man to his right mind. And what does Jesus do next? He sends the man home, not shamed, but rather on a mission. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. This here is the gospel. This man is a living testimony of God's grace. He, a man that the rest of society would have written off as a lost cause, was not beyond God's grace. And neither are you. God has always been reaching out, even to those who weren't looking for him. Isaiah reminds us, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me, and I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. God's mercy is for the outsider, for the broken, the rebel, the confused, the forgotten. And that means you are not excluded. No matter what you have done, you are baptized into Christ. You are clothed with him. You are a child of God and an heir with Christ, no longer a slave, but a son. And so here we return to the beginning. Yes, the church proclaims hard truths. Yes, we call sin what it is. But that's because we have a greater message. That sinners have a Savior, that Jesus Christ has died and risen for all, and that in Him you are welcome. You are made new, and you are welcome home. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.